Matthew Conrad, welcome to Not the Footy Show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, really been looking forward to catching up with you, and it's appropriate we're talking to you on the eve of the World Cup. But I want to take you back to the Euro qualifiers for 2008, because I believe that's where the whole soccer men story starts.
Yes, yes. In Englishmen's eyes, the infamous 2008 qualifiers, where England did not qualify, and instead we were relying on, I believe it was Andorra, to get a result against Russia in order for England to qualify, which they inevitably did not. And England, I think we lost at home to Croatia, and it was going from bad to worse. And our commander-in-chief at the time was the infamous Steve McLaren, who just sat there not doing an awful lot to help our chances. And me and my best mate Paul, we thought, look, if this geezer can manage England, then surely we can get a job in football management. And we had to look as far down the FIFA rankings as possible to some of the worst teams. And then we found the teams that had lost to these worst teams. And finally, we found someone that would accept us into the world of professional football.
Well, I believe Paul, though, was quite keen on actually playing rather than actually coaching initially.
Ah, you've done your research. Okay, so now I have to actually be truthful. Okay, so the truth is, actually, if you want me to tell the truth, okay, disgusting, painful, embarrassing truth, is that we did want to play international football. And we were playing in a Sunday league at the time in London, in the Amateur Combination Division C South, which, as you can tell, is not exactly the Premier League. And we were going out to these awful places in, like, outskirts of London. We were getting beat every week in the driving rain. I don't suppose you guys know much about rain, but it's awful in England. And like the driving hail and all that stuff. And we were getting beat every week. And we thought, look, you know, if we're going to lose, we might as well lose on the highest stage we can lose on. So that's when we decided to find the worst professional team, or the worst international team that we could lose on. And that's when we found Pompeii in the Federated States of Micronesia. So at first, we thought, okay, we're going to find this team. We're going to go over, take over, play, have a fantastic little gimmicky story to tell down the pub with your mates. Oh, yeah, we played for the worst team in the world internationally. We scored a goal, whatever. We thought it was going to be the greatest pub anecdote ever. But then when we arrived and we actually met the people that we had planned on exploiting, even though that's just a terrible way to describe it, we met the people that we planned on working with. They were so amazing, and their passion for the game was so pure that it kind of made us really take stock of what we liked about the game and what we originally loved about it. And it isn't the money and the glory and all the commercialism of football. It's just people who really love the game and really let it bring out the best in the community. And it is like a really community thing. And I think that gets lost in football. You know, if you look at the Premier League, hardly any of the players are local, and there's so much money, and you really forget what it is about the game that you love. Like back in the day, you know, your uncle very well could have played for your local professional team. It's just not like that anymore. And when we found this community in Pompeii, which is a state in the Federated States of Micronesia, in your part of the world, they were so wonderful and welcoming, and it really was. Truthfully, when I rediscovered what it was about football that I loved, and it made me want to help these people and Paul as well, rather than just kind of, you know, fulfill our what was ultimately kind of a bit of a shallow dream of playing. And we thought we can really impact and help these people much more by coaching. And in the end, I'm so glad it worked out that way, rather than us just going over and doing some stupid little pub anecdote. You know what I mean?
It's an amazing story. I mean, if you actually read the book that Paul wrote, Up Pompeii, you face so many challenges as well. I mean, initially, like the pitch, for example, covered in toads, doesn't make it the most conducive to play football on.
No, Paul really did a good job of articulating how difficult it was. I mean, while we did have the goodwill of the people, and I really can't stress that enough, Micronesia is a magnificent place. Pompeians are wonderful people. But you can't really avoid the fact that it rains all the time. And it's not just that kind of like pitter-patter rain. It's like each droplet is a bucket of rain. And therefore, when it does rain, the pitch, which becomes quite a sodden, marshy type, is the ideal habitat for frogs to breed. And yeah, like from parts of the year, it was just like loads and loads of frogs. And sometimes you'd hit penalty and follow through, and you just kick a toad about 5 feet. But there were other things as well, like when it wasn't really, really wet, it was really, really hot. And, you know, you just kind of have this crazy bipolar weather where you just don't know what to do. And also there's just other things like timekeeping is just a bit of a different philosophy. And when you're trying to create a professional football team, you know, things like that. And nutrition is a bit of a problem in the Pacific Islands. And there were certain cultural differences that we took a lot of patience and on their part as well as ours to really, like, you know, understand each other and help understand what was best for the team.
One of the things as well that is amazing is that you guys became so committed and that you were looking for sponsorship so that you could take the team to play in an international tournament. Not easy when they're the worst team in international football and they're not going to get a lot of television coverage. But you were very fortunate that Larry Coyne at Coyne Aviation came on board and sort of rescued the project and made that dream possible.
I think that whenever you do a project like this, which is so against the odds that it could happen, whenever you do take on something which is so logistically difficult, you always need one angel person, like one person to come along that can help you when no one else would. And I think every project where something truly remarkable happened, they had help. You never do this sort of thing on your own. And we did reach out to a number of people before Larry stepped in, and we were given like derisory offers. There was some chicken feed company in Yorkshire that offered like 200 quid to sponsor the entire team, which really was just, like, wouldn't even have covered like the Gatorade bill for when we took the team, you know, to Guam. And we searched around and we did a lot of publicity. You know, we were in a lot of national newspapers, but no one ever came along with anything meaningful until Larry came along and offered to help. And when he did that, it had such a massive ripple effect that it wasn't just the fact that this team got to go. You know, it's that future generations of Pohnpeians and Micronesians as a country really see football as something that will lead somewhere. So while, of course, in the short time, it really helped us fulfill our dream of taking these boys to compete in an international stage, what it did was it gave generations of Micronesians hope that football is a viable way to, you know, a viable sport to pursue. And that's so important because their previous sports are things like baseball and basketball. And while they're good at those, they're never going to get a scholarship to a US university playing baseball or basketball because they're just not physically in, they're not big people at the average height, you know, a couple of 5'5" and thing, and they're just not going to get that. So football, like, their stature is basically the stature of the Barcelona team. If they're good, they will get possibly a scholarship. And indeed, one of our players is pursuing just that in the States at the moment. So what Larry did was incredibly helpful in the short term, but monumental in the long term. And I think that the Coyne Airways will be a name that lives, you know, forever on the island of Pompeii.
No, it's great news. I mean, you guys went there as well with sort of three goals. One was to find a sponsor. Two was to set up a league, I think it was. And the three was to make the team competitive and get them to actually win a game. Some of those, obviously, you got the sponsor. The league, I believe, was hard work as well. But You did achieve the goal of them winning a game, which must have been amazing.
Well, the league, as you said, was difficult. You know, like organising something like that across an island where the communications are not great, you know, it was difficult. But indeed, it did come through. And, like, you know, from that league, we were able to select a squad of players. And after a lot of hard work and treating them like professionals, we did remarkably improve the team. I mean, it would never have happened without their dedication and their you know, their responsiveness to the organisation. But they worked really hard. We worked really hard, especially on things that like fitness, where they're just simple things to get right that can make a difference in a game. And we finally took them over to Guam, which is in FIFA, and Micronesia and Pompeii, they're not in FIFA, at least not yet. Guam has a massive football budget. You know, they're massive sponsors, international sponsors like Budweiser and things like that, like hotel groups. And their facilities, just one of their facilities is better than the entire football infrastructure of all of Micronesia and probably a lot of other Pacific Island nations as well. And it really was a David versus Goliath type scenario. So in our first game, we had four games. and they were three club games against Premier League and Second Division sides. And the final one was against a Guam national side made up of under-19 players and, under-19s. And since a lot of our guys were under-19 anyway, it sort of made sense. So the first game was against a team called Rovers, which we totally dominated the play, but they were so inexperienced, they just didn't really find the nerve, and we lost the game. So the second game, was so, so important. Because if we'd lost that game as well, who knows, we would have almost certainly come home with nothing. The boys had never, some of the guys had never even left Pompeii before. They'd never even been on an aeroplane. Totally far removed from their family and all this stuff. And I could just imagine seeing like the emotional response to losing two games on the hop. And luckily, they just came out all guns blazing, so like invigorated almost by the loss. And I've never felt like that once the final whistle went. To see the elation and to see that they were no longer, in their minds, they were no longer the worst team in the world. They really proved something. They really changed the course of history because Pompeii had never won a game. You know, that kind of thing. You know, I think in life you always want hope that you can make your mark. And I think they really felt like they made their mark that day. And it, when, you know, when I watched the footage back for the, you know, for the movie, which is hopefully be done by the end of the year, every time I watch footage from that game, yeah, it just chokes me up. Because if you see a guy like Denson Farfield, you know, 6'3", you know, like done some jail time, tattooed all over, gold teeth and everything like that, when you see him crying, you know, there's no way that you can keep a straight face. So every time I think about that, it makes me feel filled with joy.
That was one of the things we're talking to you about. Is it the great thing? And not only is it the story, but you are filming it. You've recorded it. You're a filmmaker now based in California. This is going to be an epic film, The Soccer Men. I mean, how is it all progressing?
Well, it was very difficult at first because whilst coaching is not something that I recommend any young filmmakers or young coaches to do out there. So at first it was kind of chaos because, you know, you're trying to line up a shot, but also trying to tell the person in that shot to play better. So at first it was chaos, but once we sort of got the hang of it, you know, we got you know, a lot of the footage we needed. And then what happens with a lot of documentaries is you have just about enough to film it, but what about putting it together and editing it? And this was where, you know, you're faced with the post-production bill and you go, oh my Lord, what's going to happen here? So I went to the crowdfunding website Kickstarter, and I really reached out to the football community. And that was one of the most gratifying things to do, because so many people felt the same way about football that we did, is that it's really about the community and about the spirit and like those very elemental, noble, original things about the game, not, you know, the money and the commercialism and all that good stuff. So when we told quite a relatable story about two football fans who played a lot of Football Manager for the computer game, or, you know, were playing for a crappy Sunday league team and they went to, you know, do something extraordinary, that resonated with so many armchair football fans out there. And the response was amazing. So that's how we got the budget to finish the editing. And the editing I've had to put a little bit more in, but the editing that should be done, and like by the end of the year, we'll have the film ready. And I can't wait to share it with the very people who funded it, but also, you know, football fans and documentary fans, you know, or anyone who really loves a great underdog story, because that's what this is at the end of it. It's just a triumph over adversity of true underdogs. And I think I can't wait to share it with people, because it's, you know, it's been like 5 years of my life, hard work. But yeah, I can't. It's going to be. I'll be very proud of it. I'm proud of it already, but I really want to share it with people who have the same love of football, you know, as I do.
And is it going to go on general release through cinemas? Is it going to be on television? Is there going to be a DVD? If people want to look out for it, how can they monitor when they can see it?
The best way to keep up to date with Soccer Men news is to go to the Soccer Men website, which is www.thesoccermen.com, and follow us, and also follow me on Twitter, which is @thesoccermen. And news will be pouring out, especially when we finalize a distribution deal. I do hope that people will be able to see it in cinemas, but I won't necessarily have total control of that until the deal comes up. So by the end of the year, it will be out. And if they follow me on the website at thesoccermen.com or on Twitter or even on the Facebook page, I'll be sending out plenty of news. But yeah, and right now we're focusing on getting the film good enough so that it gets that release, because that's the name of the game. It's got to be good enough, and got to get it perfect first time, because you don't get a second chance.
Look, Matthew, it's been great catching up with you. It's a wonderful story, and wish you all the very best. And maybe we can have another chat when the film is finished.
Oh, thank you very much. I'd also like to give a shout out to the Australian people as a whole, because the Australian embassy in Micronesia was very, very helpful. And and Australia puts so much value in sport as a part of their culture in it. And when we needed some basic stuff like equipment, the Australian embassy was very generous and gave us like balls and nets and stuff. And at the beginning of the project, there was not a lot of help, but the Australian embassy really stepped up. So thank you, to Australia for helping out in that regard.
Fantastic. Well, that's good to hear. Thanks again, Matthew.
All right. Cheers.
Hi, I'm Richard Garcia, and you're listening to Not the Footy Show.
Yes, you are listening to Not the Footy Show, and that was Matthew Conrad, who not only was the coach of Pompeii along with his friend Paul Watson, but has also filmed the documentary The Soccer Men, due out later this year. And if you want to get more information about it, go to their website. It's a really good read, www.thesoccermen.com, and hopefully you found that interesting. But two guys who, like many of us, sat in the pub and thought, I want to play, I can do better, I want to play international football, ended up coaching a team that of no-hopers and getting them to a tournament. And it's just an amazing story. And again, we must acknowledge Coin Airways. I think I called them Coin Aviation in the interview, but obviously Coin Airways came on board, and as soon as they did, everything became possible. It's amazing how one sponsor, as Matthew said, can make such a big difference.